And if it is a Tuesday afternoon, that means we check in at City Hall. And our guest, as always, is...
We have the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton.
Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. Thank you. Nice to be with you again on this another warm day.
It is. And warm, warm, and warm. That has been the angle to get things started here in November. It's also been dry. We haven't had any rain yet. The city's leafing project kicked off yesterday. Well, if the wind keeps blowing around like this, Mayor Hamilton, what do you do? You put a net up at the north part of the county to catch them all? How does that work?
No, we give a grant to Ellisville and say, you pick them up. You know, we'll get them. Or to Columbus, if that depends which way it's blowing, I guess. But no, we're out there, and I'm trying mulching this year. I'm trying to do more mulching this year and seeing how that works. So we'll see.
That's what I've done, and just keep chopping them up and chopping them up and chopping them up. Yeah. But they keep falling, yeah. And that's the problem with the vacuum that people don't understand. You get a vacuum at once, but the tree could leave a few times there, Keith, and that's
when you get out there and blow them all over to the neighbor's yard, the wind will blow them back.
Blow them right back.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
We're trying to do our best, Mayor.
We are. We're trying to use that wind technology everybody's talking about.
Yeah, civility. Let's just hope for civility.
Well, that's all.
Their leaves.
That's all we can do. And they have a mind of their own too. They're not. They go where they feel like going. And just be aware. If you need more information, go to the city's website. They'll show you all the maps and everything else that goes along with that. And you can get involved with it. And when it's this warm, get out there.
I was going to say, we do have a little more detail this year about where the trucks are and when they're coming. And so do check it out. You can get a more accurate picture of when they'll be on your block, I think. So you can check that out when you need to get your leaves over on your neighbor's yard so they can get them out in time.
And then what do you guys do? Call Mother Nature and schedule with her? Oh, geez.
We just try to keep the snow away. You know, that's what causes real problems when you get the leaves mixed with the snow and freezing rain and all that. So let's hope for none of that.
And thankfully, our extended forecast does not have anything in that direction, at least not yet. And it shouldn't. It's fall. Let's enjoy fall. We'll have plenty of winter things to do down the road. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in with us every Tuesday just after 4:05. Keith, and you're in the leadoff spot today. What do you got?
Well, and Mr. Mayor, the COVID situation, we're like an oasis in the middle of a desert here in Monroe County. Things don't look so good. The rest of Indiana, what do you attribute all of this to locally?
Well, you're right, Keith. You know, if we had predicted that with 35,000 young people coming back to town, that we would be in a significantly better position than the state as a whole, that we definitely would say terrific. That's because that's not a given. And it really reflects the fact that big institutions like Indiana University and our school systems and private employers and others are really being careful and dedicated about this. It also means our regular just run-of-the-mill residents are being careful and wearing masks and doing the smart thing and listening to science. And I really do think that has helped us. The state of Indiana, I'll just share three facts with you about the state of Indiana over the last 4 to 6 weeks. The hospitalizations in the state have doubled. The daily death rate has tripled, and the daily case rate has quadrupled in the state of Indiana in the last 4 to 6 weeks. That is a really ominous and very concerning pattern for the state. And as you know, the country is setting new records for caseloads as well. We are seeing rises locally, but we're like half of the state rate. And that's because people are behaving well and we have really intensive testing going on and that kind of thing. But it is concerning because this virus, it doesn't really respect an island. I mean, it depends on who's coming in and out, and it can make it here. It is here. We've had 4 deaths in the last week in Monroe County. So it's very concerning. I'm really proud of the way the community's reacted, and we've had tighter restrictions that people have abided by in general. But it's not out of the woods, and we'll get a vaccine eventually. But I was reading today, somebody were making the point: till we get there, we really have to protect each other because we're saving lives between now and the time that we'll get this vaccine, and that's going to save families and lives.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in every Tuesday. And to that point, Mayor, when we look around here and say, "Well, geez, it's not as bad as it is over there," Do you want to explain to our listeners how we are involved in a hospital system and how that those places around us, if they get overwhelmed, guess where they're coming?
Yeah, you know, the protecting against the disease has a bunch of different angles to it. One of the angles is just basically we don't want to have people die, and we don't want to have people get really sick, and that's a basic protection of each other and our family members. But there's also the level of trying to protect our healthcare system, and we were all very sensitive to that at the outbreak, that we didn't want our healthcare system and our healthcare providers to get overwhelmed, and that is an issue because, for example, our hospital serves the region, and even if Monroe County is doing relatively quite well, our hospital can get overwhelmed by people who are falling ill in the area. And in fact, our hospital is part of a state system, and if the state as a whole is really suffering with the intense hospitalizations, that can affect our hospital and our capacity. And remember, it's not just for COVID, because if they get full up with COVID, it means you can't have other procedures there, things that are important for heart, you know, protecting heart and vascular surgery and other kinds of things that we know there's been a lot of excess mortality in the country unrelated to COVID, just because of the access to healthcare. So all this stuff is interrelated. We need to keep dialing those dials on the multi-level thermostat to try to keep the viral infections down. And I just will implore people to keep staying masked, keep distancing. If you feel sick, stay away from people and recognize that we all can be infectious even when we feel great. So be careful.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. And Mr. Hamilton, Mayor Hamilton, over the last week, the county came up with compliance officers to help crack down on making sure people are observing what they need to. But they also, through the city, have got rights to go into city bars and city locations and observe there, too. What are you looking for in the compliance in terms of people coming in? Do you think that they'll have to occasion to tell somebody you have to close down?
Were those people, again, and then adding to Keith's question, was that something that your committee came up with, Mayor Hamilton, that you meet with on Fridays, or was that the county acting? Who's paying for this? All those great questions.
Yeah, and look, I really want to thank the county health department who's coordinating these four new positions, give or take four. It's paid for from the county through CARES Act money, so that's some of the federal money that was dedicated to COVID response. Very appropriate. We continued to hear complaints both from customers and from proprietors about how do I make sure this is safe and I'm doing the right thing. And I really appreciate the county dedicating that funding. And they cover countywide, including, of course, the city. We're part of the county and can step into a bar or a restaurant or a retail establishment and help deal with somebody who's not masked or help deal with the question of protocols and protective equipment and those kinds of things. They do have enforcement authority under the health department. We've had some problems with a bar that had patrons dancing or rushing a stage when they shouldn't have been, and sometimes maybe an outside person can help that. I continue to encourage, and I'm pleased generally that the proprietors are taking responsibility to make sure they keep everybody safe when you're in their establishment, and that's their job. But these people will help, and they're going to run through mid-December at least. We'll see what happens when IU stops in-person classes altogether, and what the rhythm of the community will be like. But I'm glad they're here to help.
And by the tenor of that, and the end date of that, suggest it's just not only a student issue, or is that me just dreaming out loud?
No, it's not. And these officers will be, they'll be stepping into a big retail establishment on the west side or a restaurant in Ellisville, or, they can go anywhere in the county where they're helpful, and they'll be added to the group of people from law enforcement officers to health officials who can help this compliance.
Mr. Mayor, what are their powers? I mean, they're not police per se.
X-ray vision, lightsabers. Yeah.
Well, they're basically, think of them as health department officers, and okay. Health department officers have the authority to enforce for example, the gathering sizes, the distancing of tables, the PPE usages, the masking of patrons and those kinds of things. And they could enforce a fine, but they certainly are, they're basically like another health department officer.
And Mayor Hamilton, were these necessary or suggested, or do we have the money and we just needed a way to spend it? What is this? I don't want to say severity. That sounds like I'm overreacting. You told me there were calls from patrons. You told me there were calls from proprietors. Was it enough to add four people and for that length of time?
I think the short answer to that I would give is that our public health system overall in Indiana is pretty underfunded.
Okay.
We're about 49th or 50th per capita in the country for the public health system that we have. So it's been an incredible strain on our, you know, great public health officers. So having any help to them, like these, most of their time, these compliance officers will probably be evenings and weekends when we just don't have health officers who are on duty. You know, we were using fire department members and of course, law enforcement officers and others, but we could use a much more robust public health system in the state, and that's run county by county, so they can just help boost that a little bit.
One of the stories that we had in the last day or so, Mr. Mayor, was the discovery of explosives in a house on Grant Street. Do you know any more about that, or what led to that, or what's the outcome of all of this?
Yeah, I we'll stick to what was in the paper about that. A couple things that reminds us: there was an AR-15 involved, so a semi-automatic weapon, and there were explosives that turned out to be live and armed, which is incredibly concerning. I want to thank our Bloomington Police Department, one of whose officers happened to have military background and training and expertise, and recognizing what that was and getting everybody out of the house and bringing in munitions experts who needed to be there to disarm it. And it reminds us we're in a dangerous world, and we need to thank all those who help keep us safe. And, you know, we're going to continue to try to figure out everything that was going on there. There's nothing at this point that suggests extraordinary connections to other issues. Let me just put it that way. But we're going to continue to look at that, and it is just a reminder that you know we live in a, as I remind people, there are probably over 100,000 firearms in Monroe County, and we need to be vigilant and watching to make sure they don't get misused.
Mr. Mayor, and we're talking to the mayor of City of Bloomington, John Hamilton. Are you running out of ribbon to cut? You've had some cutting ceremonies.
I want to know who your scissors contract is with.
Yeah, where do you get your ribbon?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who sharpens those? Is that Rennheisen? It's Rennheisen, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's been, you know, one of the things that's nice to do is to celebrate as a community new beginnings and new things. And during the COVID era, of course, we haven't gathered much. And I have had two ribbon cuttings in the last 2 days that were all handled under COVID protocols with masks and separation. But one was a wonderful playground that was actually ready to go into operation in March this year up at Crestmont, the Crestmont Park up northwest side of the city. And then COVID hit and we had to shut down playgrounds. So we finally got to welcome this wonderful asset up there, and we cut the ribbon there with a, you know, 40 kids around, and but they were doing great. And then today, this is one that had already been in use, but if you've been out West Kirkwood and 3rd Street where Patterson comes in and seen the new protected bike lane that runs along the curve between 3rd and Kirkwood on the west side, that's a beautiful new, it's actually the city's first formal protected bike lane where you have a segregated on the road by barriers with trees in it, and it's the first of many, I hope. But we cut the ribbon on. Well, technically, we rode our bikes through a ribbin on that today.
But like going through the finish, like winning the Tour de France.
There you
something,
go.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, that hill there is. Thankfully, you were going down the hill. I hope, and not up the hill, because if you start down there at Hinkle's and work your way up to the Rose Hill Cemetery. that'll wear you out.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mayor, you should have done that on a skateboard, not a bicycle.
It's a
bike lane. No, never mind.
I thought about a scooter because scooters can use bike lanes too. But we had a
biggest problem, Mayor Hamilton. Remember when it was just silly old scooters?
I sure do.
Now, when you put these, and you said you hope this isn't the first one or the last one, is that a grant you follow, or Adam at the city of the Department of Public Works? How do you get more of these?
Well, it's a whole mix, of course. I think the main point I would make is over the last decades, we, and like many cities, have come better to think about complete streets is one of the phrases we use, recognizing that these avenues, these streets are for everybody. They're for pedestrians, they're for bicyclists, they're for scooter riders, they're for cars, they're for buses. All these, the streets need to carry all of this traffic, and we want everyone to feel comfortable in them as a goal, too. So, you know, we're going to be, some of this comes from traditional federal, state, with local match street money. Some of it comes from bond money or even parks money. For example, the 7 line that we're going to do, which is a major protected bike lane that we'll be doing east-west, running from the B line east onto campus and then hopefully extending all the way out to 446 over time. Some of that was a bicentennial bond, the $10 million that we said, what can we do to make a gift to the future? And 4 new trails, that's one of those that we're going to use mostly some local money on. But it's always a mix of money. Some of it's grants, maybe some of the stimulus money, infrastructure money that we hope might be coming in the next year or two can help us do that. That's what built the B line, for example, was stimulus money after the 2008-09 recession. So we're always watching out for those opportunities.
And we'll be watching out our window because we look to 7th Street heading east, and we'll give you play-by-play updates when that when that gets started. It's a super under. When I ride my bike, I ride it on 7th Street when I come downtown because it's just not a heavily trafficked at certain times of the day, and, you know, especially on the weekends to avoid that. So having a natural path through there, keep them away from the cars. That's what we're trying to do with all this. Keith?
Mr. Hamilton, Mayor Hamilton, were it not for the great weather we've had the last 3 or 4 days, this time of year, the city would be talking about the construction projects, asphalt plants are going to be closing down and all of that. This weather has got to have been a boon to all of the construction and all the things that are going on in the city.
Well, it has been really helpful. And, of course, you know, we did things like during the summer and in the spring, actually, when students were gone, we accelerated the whole Kirkwood repaving project that got that done many weeks early. We're going to be opening up 17th Street, finally. You'll see that within, I think, Monday it's supposed to open up, up on the north side, the west side, 17th Street. That's taken longer than it should have, but we absolutely are seeing paving opportunities and path-making opportunities, work on Sayre Road, work on Henderson Road paths, are all moving forward well. And our, you know, our street crew loves it because they can do more and it's more comfortable while they do it.
Well, I saw the 4th Street garages really moving quickly.
Yep, both that replacement garage where we're replacing the old garage that we had to take down for safety reasons, that's coming up. And the Trace District garage is a few months ahead of that one in schedule. That's going to be opening in the spring. And you can start to see even some of the outside of that getting finished. So We are taking advantage of not only the weather and construction, but also the fact that, you know, from my perspective, trying to use these projects to help keep employment going. Those two garages are probably 500 jobs locally that we're keeping going during this tough time. So it's helpful in a lot of different ways.
And Mayor Hamilton, we have, I don't want to call it breaking news, but a little bit of breaking news. Jenny Renovich from WTHR is reporting. 13 News has learned that IU is handing out suspensions for students who violated COVID-19 health guidelines after the Hoosiers' wins over Penn State and Michigan. No word on how many, and there's a picture attached of it with a very active Kirkwood. I don't know from what game or what otherwise. Yeah, yeah, which one? Do you in the university, or is that just their business?
No, we work very closely, and I really appreciate that. On our Friday press conference last Friday, Kirk White, on behalf of the university, made very clear that suspensions were already handed out due to people who don't comply with rules, And he made no uncertain warning that if you don't comply with the rules that you commit to as a student, they will suspend students at this point. They'll suspend them for next semester. And look, you know, the vast majority of students are doing the right thing, but there are those who think they're immune or they think that they don't need to worry about their impact on others. And it is really important, and we support and we appreciate the university making clear this is not something to mess around with. This isn't some prank or some fun, frivolous escapade you can go. This is a deadly disease, and we need you to take it responsibly. And I really do appreciate IU taking that on.
And one of the things with COVID that I don't know if you have an answer to help me or to put me in the right direction, but once you've had it, do people feel like, well, then I've already had it, so I can just kind of do what I want and don't worry about the rest of it? How does this work? I know you're not an epidemiologist, but I figured you've been in some of these meetings where that's been discussed, because I really, I pay attention to this a lot. I just haven't heard, hey, I've already had it. I had it in August, so it doesn't really apply to me. Can you help me there?
Yeah, I think it's tricky. So, you know, I have antibodies. Didn't get a positive test, but I apparently did get infected when my family did. So I have antibodies. So it is true that with antibodies, we think I and those with antibodies are probably not likely to catch it again. We don't know, I don't think, and again, I'd be right, I'm not an epidemiologist, but we don't really know if we can maybe be transmitters still of it. And we certainly need to understand that there's too much uncertainty about this. And if you've had it and you got sick and you have antibodies, then good for you. You're going to help us avoid greater transmission. But We really need to recognize the uncertainty about this, and that not enough of us, anyway, we're nowhere close to what people call herd immunity, where so many of us have had it that we can't really transmit it back and forth. We're nowhere close to that. So it's really important that I keep wearing a mask. I keep physical distancing. If I get symptoms of a sickness, I isolate from folks, and we all just need to keep doing that. When the vaccine arrives, and it's probably going to be starting in the months ahead, but it'll take, you know, at least a year probably to get to most of us, then we can start to think about what does that mean for these kind of behaviors. But we just don't, there's just too much we don't know.
That's why it's a novel virus. And the other part of that is the antibodies that you have, does anybody know how long they last in your system, or does that vary individual to individual as well?
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. I was on the radio with somebody who is an epidemiologist who said, you know, we don't really know. We hope that the resistance may last a year or two, even if your antibodies aren't active. It's way beyond me. I'm not a doctor, but we just don't know. We hope so. But let's be careful these next 2 or 3 months, you know, as we don't know what would happen if you get flu and COVID at the same time. Oof. There's a lot of concern about that. What would that do to your body? So we just really need to be careful over the next 2 or 3 months.
Get your flu shot and stay healthy. That's the best thing you can do, Keith.
Well, you get to be my age. It's flu, it's shingles, and it's...
Well, if you're walking around, that's right. You're in trouble no matter where you're going.
Mr. Mayor, there's a term that's being used in the community called swagger. You want to explain that one?
Swagger awards it's an acronym. Students, do you have it in front of students with
amazing greatness and great records,
energy records?
Yeah. We're recognizing students.
Well, the kids, and they're doing great, and they need a boost here. We haven't had a lot of fun things to talk about, so that's great.
You know, it's one of the most fun nights of the year is when the kids get together in the bus kirk and they give out these awards, and everybody demonstrates and shares. And we can't do that this year, but we did put the awards out. You can check them out online to some wonderful young people in town. And whenever you're feeling down, if you're feeling depressed or uncertain about the future, start paying attention to the young people. They'll pick you back up, and you recognize it's a great generation coming up, and they're going to take care of everything okay. So this is part of celebrating some of the cool stuff they're doing.
As long as they're not doing it in big groups of 100 and with their masks. With their masks down. We have to have faith, though. We have to have faith.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton.
He's busy, Keith.
Mayor Hamilton,
get him going.
Before we let you go, everything is topsy-turvy, but tomorrow is Veterans Day. And I know as mayor, it's different in the way things are going to be handled, but I know you have something to say about what our veterans have done, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let's do two things, because last time we talked, it was Election Day, and these aren't unrelated. And remembering, you know, nobody gets everything they want in an election. We had a big national election, local elections, some win, some lose. But it's a holiday. It's almost a civic holy day. That's the day that we, the people, get to say where we're going, and that happened, and we're moving forward, and that's a big thing to celebrate. And, of course, the connection to Veterans Day is that those rights and that democracy and those freedoms and the justice that we all strive for is only possible because of some very tough times. And veterans who stood up for our country through two centuries plus now are the ones who made sure we can enjoy those freedoms. So tomorrow, Veterans Day, which was originally meant to honor the end of all wars, when we thought in 1919 was going to be the marking of the end of all wars, hasn't proved to be the case. But now it's a way that we honor everyone who's helped protect those freedoms. And so I do hope you can take a moment at 11 after 11 o'clock tomorrow to remember all the veterans and those who work to protect us, and hopefully we can move forward with peaceful, more peace in the future. That's what it was originally meant to celebrate.
Excellent job as always, Mr. Mayor. We enjoy the insights, and we look forward to speaking to you next Tuesday.
Y'all have a good week. Thanks so much.